Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Goodrum, who is president of WAC, will be talking about the websites. And you'll notice he has a T-shirt. I can't imagine why. Perhaps because he works for the outfit. Here's one of those government employees that, depending upon your political persuasion, you know, rocks or kudos. We prefer kudos. Jeff Goodrum is going to talk about NOAA websites.
Yeah, this will be the Learn 30, so I'll try to keep it to a half hour. And now that Paul has introduced me, I'm going to make that disclaimer that I'm not representing NOAA officially in any way. Any comments are my own. They're not the government's. This is not sanctioned by the Public Affairs Office of NOAA. So. Yes. Yeah, I work for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is the U.S. Department of Commerce. It's actually got a very broad charter for environmental science, whereas agencies like NASA does a lot of research, and they're very research-oriented. NOAA is really on the ground, you know, boots on the ground or flippers in the water, doing research, you know, firsthand, as well as doing the, you know, day-to-day weather forecasts. And they actually are quite broad in what they do. This is the homepage, and I do have a PDF, which I'll have posted on the WAC meetings page as soon as we can get that up there with all the links, so you don't have to write them all down. But, you know, it's www.noaa.gov for the homepage. And so this page has sort of the latest news information, things that are going on within NOAA. But it's also got these very thematic links here for the weather, oceans, fisheries, charting, satellites, which is my area. They've got the climate service, which they're trying to stand up right now. And a number of NOAA offices are involved in research. And there's also coastal management. So NOAA does a lot of things, and it's actually an organization I'm pretty proud of because it really doesn't do a whole lot that's terribly controversial. Yeah. There's actually been some discussion about merging the environmental agencies and getting NOAA out of commerce, but you know, basically that hasn't gone anywhere. But there's certainly a lot of discussion about the synergies between the different environmental organizations and Department of Energy as well. No, that hasn't happened. But yeah, there's definitely some overlap, like atmospheric modeling for diffusion of pollution. Both agencies do that, so they work together on things like that. NOAA was also involved in the Deepwater Horizon. A lot of the things that happened during Deepwater Horizon, recovering from the oil slick, NOAA was involved in the restoration of the coast, the assessments. They also managed the fisheries, so when the areas were closed for fishing, NOAA manages that and enforces that. So there's a lot of information here on Deepwater Horizon if you click that link, and you can see that kind of information. This is a quick way to get to the weather, National Weather Service. I'm going to actually get more to that later, but you can quickly see where the alerts, watches, and warnings across the nation are. One problem I have with this page, and I'll say it right now, is sometimes the number of colors they have, they're very difficult to tell apart. So sometimes the watches and warnings, it's a little tough to tell. It's unlikely you have a marine weather statement in the middle of the country, but you know. So that might help, but sometimes these color differences are a little tough to tell. Here's the sheet that I've made. So what I'm going to try and go through real quick. So the next one I'm going to look at is the National Data Buoy Center. And I've already opened this one up because this computer's really slow. These are some of the global buoys that NOAA manages. And you can actually filter them out so you can see which ones are doing what kind of things. They're tsunami measurement buoys, especially after the tsunami in Sumatra. A lot of funding was allocated to actually get these buoys in place. So you can actually click on any of these links if you're interested and get information from those buoys. So you can actually see the wave heights in various parts of the ocean. If you want to see details, click on the link, and you can actually see more information about that specific buoy, where it is. You can get data from that buoy. You can pull up all kinds of information. You know, so that's being collected all the time by NOAA from all these buoys.
But all over the country. I mean, all over the world.
Yeah.
Country.
That's correct.
Any with video?
Not really, but I'm going to show you another one in a minute that actually has audio.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You have expanded the tsunami buoys, which, you know, from looking at this, it looks like it's only two. Yet, is it because a whole lot of other countries?
No, all of these diamonds are tsunami buoys.
Oh, they're all tsunami
buoys. Yeah. The ones that are sort of throbbing there are tsunamis in event modes. That means they're seeing something that they think is interesting. But a lot of it is it could be anomalies as well. But all of those, and actually the first, of course, number of buoys were set up with international organizations with Sumatra, Indonesia, around after the Indian Ocean tsunami. But obviously Pacific and the Ring of Fire is very of a lot of concern because a lot of earthquakes on the West Coast. And there have been devastating earthquakes that have had tsunamis along the Pacific coast. But there are also potential for tsunamis in the Atlantic, so we actually got some buoys that were put in the Atlantic as well.
Are those only U.S. buoys?
Some of these are international. They're done with international agreements, but really NOAA put them out there. NOAA built them and established them.
How deep of water can you put those in?
Really, there's almost no limit the way they're anchored. They're just very, very long cables. They are tethered.
I noticed there are very few in these South America where they have a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah, I can't answer. You know, the placement is sometimes limited by budget as well. These are actually called DART buoys, so there's more information about DART. Let's see, they have... Yeah, there's like a diagram. Yeah, this is taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So basically, that's how they work. So there's a diagram of how those buoys work.
Were there not any near Japan?
Yes, there were. As a matter of fact, I'll show you that. I'll get to that in a little bit later.
Okay.
But, you know, there are also buoys that have meteorological information, weather, you know, the wind direction, wave heights, all kinds of things, not just tsunami. That are available from this website. And I'm actually spending way too much time on this one. But you can actually go and, just explore. So the Data Buoy Center, Meteorological Ocean. And let's see if I get them. I can click on that. So those are the ones that are actually measuring weather information as well offshore. Okay? So... Let's see, let me go to the next one. This is actually a variant. This one's of local interest because it's actually Chesapeake Bay buoys. And so it's got information about Chesapeake Bay sites, including Potomac, just off the Wilson Bridge. The upper Potomac is near the Wilson Bridge. So you can get information, weather, and wind speed. Interesting thing about this is they've also got something called the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail, and if you're in a boat, you can actually hear audio that's broadcast from the buoys that actually give you historical information about the location you're at. Let's see. But yeah, you can get information from any of these buoys. Just you know, click on this link and pull them up by location. And this is a very slow computer. Not in the Chesapeake Bay, but in the you will find that on other NOAA sites. The other meteorological buoys, the Data Buoy Center, that's where you go for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you can just pull up any site you want. Like I say, Upper Potomac is actually the closest to us. But if you're a boater, then you might be interested in some of this information. Okay, I'm not going to spend any more time on that. Okay, Coast Watch, while we're on the theme. Coast Watch, I work with these people quite a bit. They're actually regional coastal U.S. satellite-derived products. And so if you're interested in all kinds of information, this one is showing, obviously, Chesapeake Bay, East Coast area. You can pull up all kinds of information, like just a plain satellite image if you want that. Yeah, they use, so this is a satellite image, but if you want to know water temperatures in the coastal areas, you can get that information too. Yeah, NOAA's been working with Google quite a bit. As a matter of fact, if you use Google Earth, they have Google Oceans now, and they get almost all their data from NOAA. So you can actually, you know, dive under the water and explore undersea areas and shipwrecks, and that's all coming from NOAA. Okay, so these are, if you're heading to the beach, you can actually get a pretty quick idea of how warm the water is along the coasts, and you can also see different times of the year. Let's see. So by the scale over here on the right, the temperature's below 80 degrees, but it's obviously warmer in the bay, a little cooler along the 70-degree area along the Delmarva Peninsula. So. Let's see. NOAA also, as I mentioned before, does nautical charts. They're actually the ones that go out and do the coastal surveys with our NOAA vessels and scan the bottoms and actually come up with highly accurate nautical charts. And things like after Hurricane Katrina and a number of objects were sunk at the bottom, they went out immediately and they started charting again. You know, boats had sunk, all kinds of things. So. All right, let's see.
Yeah.
Civil War chart collection, okay. Yeah, it's not just, actually not just nautical charts, but also geodetic survey land charts as well. But if you're interested in boating, you can actually get a view of the various nautical charts. You can pull them up, raster versions. And I saw Cape Hatteras out there. You can go and see where all the obstructions are. So all the latest charts are also online.
How do you obtain a chart?
Hmm?
How do you obtain a chart?
Yeah, you just go to the website, and you can explore the view nautical charts or how to obtain charts and get information. I mean, some of them are going to be cost if you have them shipped. You know, hard copy charts, but digital products are generally free.
Well, you get it, if you're on a ship, you can just obtain a chart.
Yeah. If you have an internet connection, yeah.
Could we look at one of the charts?
Yeah.
Easily.
I can say this isn't the fastest computer in the world. Okay, so let's see, Atlantic Coast is where I was looking this morning. Cape Hatteras to Straits of Florida. So it's all online. Explosive dumping area, probably a place you don't want to spend a lot of time in.
Definitely don't be dragging your
fish. Yeah, dropping an anchor.
Is there anything that can give you the depth as you go along?
Like, I think that's what those numbers are.
Well, yeah, they're charted numbers here for depth, but you mean like be able to pick a spot and actually get the depth there? I think Google Earth might help you with that, Google Oceans. You might get the information there because it's actually got the high accuracy bottom. But, good question. I can't remember. Anyway, a lot of information out there from NOAA. This is one of my favorite sites because they actually had a lot of stuff, real-time data online very early, Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory. So when you hear about the undersea vents that are found, you know, hot water vents and new forms of life, generally these guys are the guys out in the submersibles looking at that. They're the ones who are finding those sites. So here you've got the undersea volcanoes. One of my favorite things is actually, well, and they also do these tsunamis, so you get information about tsunamis as well. No, I don't see it. No, I'm looking for it. One of my favorite things was actually acoustics, underwater acoustics. For a while they had, there's seafloor images, they actually had a live hydrophone off the Pacific coast, and you can just listen to whales and ships and everything go by. And they still have a lot of the information, but it's not live, and I'm looking at the wrong place now. Now I'm not finding it. I had it before. I don't think I want the raw data, though. Research.
Data?
Well, that's not what I'm looking for. Theme pages. Maybe it's under theme pages. Whale acoustics. It's kind of neat. I've got samples of various acoustics they picked up, so it's, I find it's kind of neat to listen to the various whales. So you go in and listen to those. I don't think I have the sound hooked up, but you can go click on this, and actually if you just have a sound player on your computer, you know, you can listen to the sound. Different types of whales, sometimes they're unusual sounds or that they haven't identified, but it's kind of neat. Generally, yes. Now, there are still live hydrophone sites out on the web that you can find. So there, it just, I don't think NOAA is supporting them anymore. I mean, NOAA's doing it, it's just not online through NOAA. Let's see. Ocean Explorer. This is all more slanted toward education. It's what NOAA's doing in research with research vessels. There are some interesting videos here. But you can look at all the various expeditions that have been going on recently and get information about them. And again, Google's tied in with that. But there are a lot of interesting videos and educational materials. And a lot of it's oriented towards schools. They actually do real-time exploration and research where they do real-time video from the ocean, from the research site over the web. And that's really, you can follow some of that here. Like it says, live streams from Okeanos Explorer, which is one of our vessels. But there's also, if you missed that, there's a YouTube site for Ocean Explorer, which has a lot of videos from the research trips. So if you're interested in the videos, a lot of that's there too. So it's not currently broadcasting right now. It's not live, but you get a lot of previous videos. So again, there's some of the worms from the deep sea vents areas, Galapagos Rift. So a lot of good stuff out there. I mean, you can spend a lot of time. This one I threw in there just because there's some interesting spots here. NOAA also manages the marine protected areas, marine sanctuaries. They're basically like national parks or national forests, or preserved areas offshore. There are over 1,600 of them around the United States, and actually, in, of course, territorial waters as well. Of course, the one that I came up most recently probably was the Ironclad Monitor, the from the Union, that sunk off the Virginia coast. So that is now a marine sanctuary. Well, they went in and did the survey, archaeological survey of the site, and so that's now also a protected area. But NOAA does a lot of that. So this has a lot of information, a lot of interesting videos about, again, the monitor would have been a cultural heritage resource. But there's also just all kinds of things that are going on in these protected areas, and lots of videos there to watch. And a mapping tool if you want to see maps. So a lot of PDFs. So something to check out. Let's see. Of course, in doing all this, NOAA maintains a fleet of both ships and aircraft. You're probably aware of, you know, you've already seen the ships, but also the Hurricane Hunters, as well as aircraft that does atmospheric research. After the tornado in Joplin, they did a high-resolution aerial survey before and after. Also during after Katrina, they did the same thing. So you can actually go in and take a look at these survey photographs and get really detailed views of all the damage that happened over the same track, before and after views. They actually plotted these, one of the options on this site, they actually plotted these on Google Maps. So you can see where they are in Google Maps and click on individual sectors and zoom in and see, you know, just detail down almost to the house level of how much damage happened from that tornado outbreak. interesting thing a lot of people don't realize is NOAA has its own commissioned officer corps. We're one of the seven uniformed services in the United States government, along with the DOD sites and the Public Health Service, which has one. NOAA has a NOAA corps. And these are basically officers who are in command or managing the ships and aircraft. So if you have somebody who's not quite sure they want to go in the military, but they want to do some public service in the militarist type atmosphere, NOAA Officer Corps is available, you know. And it's a small group, but certainly always looking for people.
What's the career path to get into that?
Well, firstly, you're probably going to go to the recruiting here on this website and look at it. And it gives you all the information you need.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do they have an admiral?
Yes.
I don't think
it's equal. Yep. Let's see. I did see that.
Officer training under recruiting.
Yeah. They actually had... Well, actually, if you go to Wikipedia, Wikipedia also has an entry for NOAA Officer Corps, and they have the different ranks from ensign to, I think it's vice admiral. National Weather Service, well, I've already gone over that. You can go down to your local site and get your local forecasts and information. I've used that. It's weather.gov as opposed to weather.com, which is Weather Channel. And of course, a lot of people use the Weather Channel, but me being NOAA employee, I always use weather.gov, so obviously your choice. But remember, the Weather Channel gets its information from National Weather Service, really, sites for the most part. So, except for like WeatherBug, which is private. You know, most of the information comes from the government. National Hurricane Center. Lloyd Johnson ran this link in the last the August issue of the Cursor, so you can follow the current tropical storm activity, what's going on. Got all the information and hurricane tracks, as well as you can get also historical information on hurricane tracks. Text forecasts, all kinds of charts. You can see both the Pacific, generally around Mexico, but also sometimes around Hawaii as well. And right, Tropical Storm Harvey, so the latest updates on that. You can get wind probabilities, lots of information, wind history, forecasts, and also they've got the various text descriptions, the forecast and advisories. So if you want the actual discussions, the forecast and advisories, you can get the text information as well. You know, the analysts, the weather forecasters actually telling you, you know, what they're seeing and what they think it's going to do. Let's see. NOAA also does space weather. So they monitor the sun, looking for solar flares and solar storms. This is really important because these storms can create current surges in our electrical grid and cause widespread power outages. They can affect satellites. Is Jim Brueggemann here? I don't think so. Space station, obviously the astronauts probably going to go into a hardened area within the space station if there's a bad electrical storm or solar storm coming in. So using NOAA's groups of satellites, both geostationary and polar orbiting, they actually keep track of basically the near space environment and the solar environment and look for these storms. And if you're really interested, particularly in the weather, the winter, let's see if they get the link here. You get alerts and warnings. You can actually look and see, get information on viewing aurora. So if you're far enough north or there's a pretty particularly strong storm going on, these rings here, basically yellow, is where the auroras are going to be. So you can see mapped on where it is, north and south hemisphere. So if there's a particularly active period, it may actually get down to this area, Pennsylvania and Washington. On rare occasions, you can view them from here. Of course, you've got the city lights here, which make it very difficult. But okay. I do work in the satellite area, so we've got lots of satellite products as well. We've got, even though they say there's no land in NOAA, We do have land products. We monitor fire and smoke, volcano ash, which affects aviation, and vegetation. So if there's drought, we can see that through our satellite remote sensed information. So let me go take a look at one of these. You can click on this link and see the various products that are available. Let's see. Okay, hazard mapping system, which some of my friends work on. You can actually spot where fires have been detected by satellite. You can see imagery loops from the satellites where they highlight fire areas. Floaters are when they pick a specific area over an area of interest, and it just stays over that area for however long they want to monitor it. But, yeah, NOAA's doing all this stuff. Jumping ahead. Some of the interesting videos from and images from satellites are actually hosted on this site where they do some special processing. So you get some actually pictures that make good wallpaper if you're interested in wallpaper, because you can just blow a lot of these things up to full size. So there's Bermuda, and this is, I think it was Hurricane Gert or Tropical Storm Gert. It just missed it to the east. But high-resolution photos. And I'm running out of time, so let me rush through the next few. This is a place I actually worked for as an intern before I became a full-time NOAA employee. And this one's easy to miss because it's actually hosted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. NOAA partners with the U.S. Department of Agriculture on evaluating basically weather and climate on crop productions. So they monitor drought, and not just in the United States, but worldwide. And frankly, we used to get like CIA intelligence analysts would come in for the briefings because they want to know, okay, how's this going to affect China, Russia, the breadbasket in Ukraine. So this is a weekly bulletin that's available that I actually help work on, weekly weather and crop bulletin. It's a PDF, and it comes out and it shows you basically all the temperature extremes, areas of degree days, the heat, drought, where the drought's the worst. So like for Texas, you can see just how bad it is. So a lot of information on these documents. So I thought that one was worth throwing in there. It's not just about crops. I mean, you can actually use it. It has weather analyses as well. And Climate Service, I told you this is actually being stood up now. And there's a lot of information here on this new Climate Service, since climate is a, pardon the pun, a hot topic. Sorry about that. So all kinds of charts on climate change over whichever period you want. You can go in and change that and view ocean heat, sea level change, temperature change. A lot of stories here. But actually, if you're interested, and I don't see it showing up, but unfortunately the title's not showing up for some reason. Actually, you type in a location and a date. Let's see. And you can actually get weather information, if I got that right.
How far back does that
go? Good question. And I don't think it's working. I think I'm probably blocking it. That's what I'm doing. I've got basically a software firewall on websites, so it sometimes blocks stuff. Okay, yeah, there we go. Oops, jumped out of it. No. Didn't want to leave.
What are your total employees?
Anyway, excuse me?
How many people work for NOAA?
Yeah, I thought about looking that up, but I forgot to. If you go to the NOAA home page, you'll probably can get that information on the organization links. Anyway, if I did that right, you would have actually gotten information about a particular site on a particular date and basically all the climatological information for that site. So that's kind of useful. And lastly, last one I have on here is NOAA does have actually a library with library-type services. One of the things they do is they have a photo library. So if you're interested in any various themes, basically it's all public domain images. You know, for like the aircraft, You can click on the flying with NOAA, and then you can go down and look at hurricane hunting. And basically, there's a lot of information about that, plus various photos. A lot of them are fairly old. Some of them come back from the 70s, old photographs. But they're also usually done available in a high resolution as well. So if you like some of these as wallpapers, you could probably use those as well. Anyway, that's it. And I've run a little bit over time, but just wanted to show you what the variety of things that are out there.